Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Freddie and Harry Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What's good, brothers and sisters? Welcome to the best show on your radio. It is Freddie and Harry. Thank you very much. Andre Snelling's in for Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. We're presented by Progressive Insurance on Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. Don't forget about us and tune in. Always tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. All we're going to get to is the NBA, and maybe more importantly, are you ready for an Oklahoma City Thunder-Minnesota Timberwolves matchup in the Western Conference Finals? No LeBron, no Steph, no Clip. They weren't going to be there anyway. You know, none of that. No stars used to seeing. Are you ready for that? Is the NBA ready for that? We're going to get to that in a couple of minutes. But your traffic stories keep getting better and better and better. We want to hear from you right now. 888-SAY-ESPN. That is 888-729-3776. What is your worst stuck in traffic story? This all got started because Andre Snelling's in for Harry Douglas today. He had a little kerfuffle involving traffic in the greater Hartford, West Hartford, Southington area, getting to where our studios are here in Connecticut. He was stuck in traffic. He was a little bit late. Chris Mad Dog Russo went through the same thing on first day yesterday, and they had video of him walking him late.
Yeah.
That's savage to the 25th power to do that to somebody. At least we honored the fact that Andre got stuck in traffic. They called him out on national TV yesterday.
Oh, but I was getting laughed at. When I walked in, I saw producer Evan. He was walking out.
Evan laughs at everybody. Evan Wilner, the producer, Carla versus Joe.
And then, like, you know, I walked past him. Another person came right after him. Everybody got the quick.
Was it Cam Pratt?
Yeah, probably was.
Producer when it comes to Greeny with Mike Greenberg. So Andre got clowned.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you probably felt
not on national television.
Not on national television. And we're not going to clown you with your worst stuck in traffic story at 888-729-3776. Jeff in Tampa, what was your worst stuck in traffic story, my brother?
Oh, man, it was South Africa on a safari. We were the last bus. And the bus in front of us had some mechanical issues. And it got dark. And we heard something behind us. We looked behind us. We're surrounded by lions.
Oh.
We telling this dude, go around and, well, you know, we're supposed to stay on this path. Dude, you better go around.
Oh, is this a safari? Was it, like, open? You know, was y'all out in the open air?
Yeah.
They supposed to stay on the path. But there was grass around, so he could easily just go around. He said, oh, they're not going to do anything. I said, no, dude.
No.
It's dark.
I bless the lions down in Africa.
If you could have seen the faces in the studio when you started off your story, we all froze like, what?
Believe me, the last place you want to be stuck in traffic is somewhere in the Serengeti.
Yeah.
Because the last time I checked, those cheetahs can almost outrun cars.
Yeah.
And those lions seem to be hungry and pretty strong when they're hungry.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching the Lion King cartoon. I have no desire to be in the next movie.
The best part for me was how calm the traveling guide was. Oh, yeah. They won't do anything.
Right.
Just because they haven't done anything up to this point doesn't mean they won't have a change of mind at our expense. That's a lot of faith.
That is. That's a lot of faith and a lot more confidence than I want my tour guide to have.
Yeah.
I need him to be on my same energy.
Exactly.
If we're in this situation.
And you're trusting the lions? Sure. If you're not a lion, don't do it, as far as that goes. Jack in Baltimore, what is your worst stuck in traffic story?
It might be going on right now, boys. I mean, I called you guys about 30 minutes ago. Here I am, still in traffic.
Really?
I'm looking at this bridge down in the water.
Oh, my God.
I got a question for you guys.
Sure.
I got a question for you guys. Got to settle a debate from my lunch this day.
Okay.
We had a friend of mine say that Anthony Edwards might be that guy. I agree. He might be the new guy in the NBA. But who's that? Who's that big rival that's going to make him a legend? You know, like all these guys, they've got these guys that throughout their career, they're going to be the guy they battle over and over and over again. The only name I could come up with was going to be Luka. I can't think of anyone else who's going to stay around that long and be that good with him.
Well, we'll answer that question. But number one, Jack in Baltimore, if you're still stuck in traffic about 30 to 60 minutes from now, give us a call back. We want to hear your update as far as that goes. That's where it gets to, and I'm glad he led us into when it comes to Anthony Edwards, because for a lot of people out there, he is on the come up. Mm-hmm. For people like you, me, Devin Kane, Shannon Penn, our producers, he's arrived. Now he has that chance to arrive even more, because I guarantee you, on Friday, there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on that basketball game involving Jamal Murray, who many people believe should be suspended for what he did in Game 2 for the Denver Nuggets. And you've heard so much and seen so much now, Anthony Edwards, that curiosity factor is going to be there. I don't know who's going to be around that long. I never played the Futures game as far as that goes, but I'll say this about Anthony Edwards and Jack in Baltimore. It's a great question. When you're 22 years of age and people are already comparing you to a guy like Michael Jordan, and it seems like you had the game to back that up before you turn 23 in August, there are going to be new faces of this league. At a certain point, sooner than later, we're going to be putting Anthony Edwards in that kind of category, having that kind of stay longer when it comes to him just really getting started with him being a superstar in the NBA.
Yeah, so Anthony Edwards, I was thinking about it. I kind of feel like, you know, for those in my generation, last year's playoffs was like he dropped the underground mixtape. And it was like a buzz. You know, those that know were like, you see this dude averaging 30-something a game against the Nuggets? You know, and the Nuggets players afterwards were like, yeah, you know, we ain't had too much trouble in the way of that championship, except that dude, Anthony Edwards, was a problem.
Right.
Then he played for the U.S. national team.
And he was the best player.
The best player. Steve Kerr, the coach, is on there talking about, yeah, he is the leader of this team by far. And so that was kind of like preamble, you know, only the people that knew.
Yeah.
But he had that sequence of just ridiculous all-star number one on SportsCenter type plays, dunks, blocking shots, hitting his head on the rim to win the game. And so coming into the playoffs, I think that he's starting to go national. He's dropped the CD now and people are paying attention to it.
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, yes, he's not at the level yet that he will eventually get. Mm-hmm. But you're right. When more and more people, maybe starting with Stephen A. Smith on our air, but just it's becoming the norm that you hear the Michael Jordan to Kobe Bryant to Anthony Edwards lineage being quoted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's definitely the next man up, and next might be right now.
I'm Jason Ellis in for Harry Douglas. Join me, Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Harry and ESPN Radio, because we were having this conversation, not you and me specifically, but 2 years ago, we were having this kind of conversation regarding two dudes, Ja Morant of Memphis and Zion Williamson of New Orleans.
Yeah.
That they were going to be the faces of the league. Once LeBron and Steph and KD and all those old heads get out the way. And yeah, Luka Doncic is in that category as well, in terms of not an old head, but one of the faces of the league.
Mm-hmm.
We were having that conversation specifically about those two guys who were eye candy for highlights when they could stay healthy, in Zion Williamson, and a guy who was really healthy when it comes to Ja Morant. Not even 2 years later, they're not even part of that conversation now. Anthony Edwards is that conversation. You really should put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of Oklahoma City in that conversation. You can definitely put Nikola Jokic in that conversation. People don't realize Nikola Jokic is not an old man.
No.
We're not talking about a guy that's 35, 36, or anything like that. No, we're talking about a guy who literally, in the last 4 years, people looked at him and say, yeah, that argument, the best player in the world, we can retire that argument. It is definitely him. It's not anybody else. And yet Nikola Jokic is not 30 yet.
Yeah.
He's 29 years of age. But in terms of basketball now, he is looked upon as an older guy, because you got these young Bucks out there, and specifically two of them who are literally four games away from playing against each other. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of Oklahoma City and Anthony Edwards of Minnesota. So maybe the question is the NBA ready for that Western Conference Finals series? Maybe the question to ask is, are people out there, average Joe and Josephine fan, starting to find out about these guys, hearing more and more about them? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got the great commercial with Chet Holmgren, where they're saying, what a player wants, using that one from Christina Aguilera, and Anthony Edwards in his commercials. So maybe that's the bigger question, Andre. Is Joe and Josephine Q public ready for a Western Conference Finals that does not have LeBron, does not have Steph, does not have Draymond, doesn't have potentially Luka in it when it comes to that series?
Yeah, I think that they could be ready for it if Anthony Edwards is there, because there's such a push he's providing the push, but there's such a push for him to be that next face. You know, you mentioned Zion and Ja. The thing is, with Zion, it was based on what he had done in college. Mm-hmm. You know, he never in the NBA has yet shown that he could be that guy at this level. He's never been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, we keep waiting for it. Yeah, you're right. That's fair.
And with Ja Morant, he was, you know, his highlights were amazing, and the Grizzlies, he had them on the come up. But what, you know, his issue was something else, something he did off the court.
Absolutely.
But, you know, somebody like Anthony Edwards is like organic. He's come along. He's doing all the right things. His team is playing really, really well. And he's providing the type of highlights with the type of game that's invoking the names of these inner circle of the inner circle Hall of Famers. So I think that the NBA, because, yes, the NBA was built on big teams, mm-hmm. you know, the Celtics, the Lakers, the Knicks. But kind of starting with David Stern, the NBA has been built on individuals. It was Magic and Bird and Jordan right. and yeah. one-name guys. And I think that Anthony Edwards, or Ant-Man is going to be his one name, mm-hmm. is becoming that. And I think they're ready to push him to be that. Because you mentioned Jokic, he's only 29, that's true. But he never has captured the imagination of the casual Joe and Josephine Q public.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, you could say he's in the same generation with Giannis and Embiid. They're the generation behind Steph and LeBron. Mm-hmm. But they've reached their peaks. You know, anywhere they go from here is likely to be downward. Whereas now we're talking about the next man up.
Yeah, like I said, he's not going to turn 23 years of age until August when it comes to Anthony Edwards. And if you're the NBA, with the Olympics in Paris this year.
Yeah.
And Anthony Edwards on that team with the United States, that could really be the kind of worldwide stage. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, the usual suspects are there. LeBron, Steph, Kevin Durant. Well, Joel Embiid, I don't think is going to be there. He's injured. Kawhi Leonard, definitely not going to be there because he's not playing through a knee inflammation. If he didn't do that in the playoffs, he's not going to do that in the Olympics in Paris. So mm-hmm. there'll be a couple other spots. Jalen Brunson, that should have a chance to be a part of that team.
Yeah.
But being on a worldwide stage like that, it could be the same thing that happened when they had the first Dream Team in 1992. Mm-hmm. Going into that, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. And when that Olympics was over, like Magic Johnson said, there's a new sheriff in town, mm-hmm. and his name is Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan said, yeah, and don't you bleeping forget it.
Yeah.
We could have the same situation where LeBron James, Kevin Durant, all those dudes around, and Anthony Edwards may go, and somebody may say, hey, there's a new sheriff in the NBA, and his name is Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. And the Ant-Man's going to say, yeah, and don't you bleeping forget it.
Yeah.
If he's able to get his team into the NBA Finals, at least the Western Conference Finals, and have a chance to succeed like that on a world stage with the Paris Olympics right around the corner later on this year.
That is an excellent point. And, you know, he has the chance. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. We don't know what he's going to do this year.
Absolutely.
But if they have that type of success, he would be the first kind of potential face of the NBA among the championship winners that's American-born in recent years, right? So we're talking about the Olympics and the Dream Team. Well, Nikola Jokic is not going to be playing for America. You know,
true.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to be playing for America. The most recent champions are not playing for America. I think Embiid is, but, you know, he hasn't won that championship. So if Edwards is able to perform on that level in the NBA season, yeah, the Olympics could really be his coronation.
Because we're doing that in terms of having the worst stuck-in-traffic story. We're going to get to your calls. Andre Snellings in for Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We're going to get to your calls at 888-729-3776 on the Groove Line when it comes to what is your worst stuck-in-traffic story. Because Anthony Edwards has shown he is not going to allow where he is to stick him in that kind of traffic where he can't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it earlier this week. He has had the perfect, perfect template, the perfect, perfect path to see that, what Giannis did in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
So many people said, dude, if you're going to win a championship, if you're going to be a worldwide brand, you need to get the heck out of here, man. You cannot do this in this city. And Giannis showed that loyalty. And then he was able to brand himself and brand his name and become a bigger name than Milwaukee, mm-hmm. even as a foreign player. But he was able to get that kind of light and get that kind of burn where all of a sudden you see him doing commercials. He showed that, hey, I can stay here and make this work. And when he won a championship, his name went that way. Now, if he decides to leave, no one is going to hold it against him because he did win a championship there. He committed to Milwaukee, that city, and that organization. Anthony Edwards, I guarantee you, the minute he got drafted by Minnesota, the first pick in the draft, people say, yep, 5 years, you're going to be out of there.
Right. Right.
Here we are 4 years later. Anthony Edwards, I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I get a chance to be me here. I don't have to be the second someone somewhere else.
Yeah.
By seeing that kind of plan, it only helps the NBA that you don't have to have super teams or people going to big cities to see if they can make that work. As long as Anthony Edwards continues to play like this and stay in that state, which is a hockey state, Minnesota, and play out there for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, you know, there's only one name in Minnesota Timberwolves history, and that's Kevin Garnett.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I've enjoyed is, you know, KG and Paul Pierce have their podcast, and he gives Anthony Edwards so much love. He gives this whole generation of the Timberwolves so much love for being able to kind of do what he wasn't able to do with his teams because he didn't have enough help. So I like that. It feels like everyone is on Anthony's side. Everybody wants to see him succeed because he's got the game and he's got a personality
Absolutely.
That's just infectious. And so all of those things together really have him as positioned to be that next guy. And I don't know, do we want to answer the caller's question about who do we think might be the others on that list?
Well, that was definitely off the top of my head right now. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I mentioned him from Oklahoma City. He has that potential. Paolo Banchero could be that for the Orlando Magic because he is sort of like Anthony Edwards light, not in terms of his skin, but in terms of his game playing for the Orlando Magic. Yeah, I said it so. Like I was the only one that thought that. Oh, I'm the villain in this piece as far as that goes. But he showed that personality against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he is definitely going to come up. Tyrese Maxey, maybe, if they build the team around him when it comes to Philadelphia 76ers. But we're going to start to see more and more. Ja Morant should be that guy again. If he can get his act together and keep things on straight, he can definitely be back in that conversation when it comes to those new faces of the league that are going to be around 10, 12 years from now, still playing at that kind of level.
Yeah, I mean, those are all great names that you mentioned. But if Edwards really is going to get to the level they're talking about of like the Kobe's and Jordan's of the world, and there's still a lot of steps he has to go to get to that level.
Yeah.
But if he is, there's only one name on the list, and it's Victor Wembanyama. Like,
absolutely.
Wemby,
I don't know how I can't forget about
him. Is, you know, what he showed this season, if he's able to stay healthy, he's going to be doing video game things over the next decade.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about him because they haven't won yet.
Yeah, but, they haven't.
Yeah, but he's been must-see TV despite the team not being good around him. Yeah, and by the way, Rookie of the Year, and many people thought he could have been Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. That award went to Rudy Gobert, the Minnesota Timberwolves, winning that for the fourth time in his career. 888-729-3776. Oh, we know. You got to get it off your chest. It may be the earliest safe space that we've ever had in the history of the show when it comes to Freddie and Harry. Andre Snelling's in for Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. What is your worst stuck in traffic story? This all got started because our man Andre, on his way here, got stuck in traffic. He's going to be here way before the show got started. And then traffic got in the way. He didn't get here until 8 minutes after the show started. What is your worst stuck in traffic story? One of our favorites is Airline Food in Virginia. Airline Food, your worst stuck in traffic story is what?
Man, listen, you ain't going to believe this, man. I'm not saying no names. I don't want no problems. I'm not putting nobody out there. But I'm the police, and the guy I went to the academy with, we in a marked unit, in uniform. He pulled up beside me, and he's sweating. It looked like he about to cry. And I mouthed him, I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? He said, man, I got to take a dump. So I don't know if you know, but when you're police, everybody drives slow in front of you. Mm-hmm. You ain't paying no attention to them, but they drive slow.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls up in front of me, and he goes on the radio because I can't talk to him. He's like, man, I ain't going to make it. And he cuts the lights on, and the car in front of him was stolen, and it drove over the curb, and he was like, I can't do it, man. You got to go get it. Man, I was crying, man. I will never forget that. And he didn't make it. He didn't make it.
Oh, no. Oh, the kicker.
Right.
Oh, no.
On top of all that. Oh, snap.
Oh, man.
Oh, snap.
He not only told the story, well, he had his soul, and then he gave the kicker that he didn't make it.
Yeah. I mean, like, when he started the story, I was like, oh, no. Now tell me the man made it. But then he went through all of it. Because I was thinking, you got to turn the siren on, right? Like, if the car is going in front of you,
you got to go.
Turned the siren on, and the man done stole the car. Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice story.
Those White Castle burgers are undefeated as far as that goes. Kev B in Connecticut, what is your worst stuck in traffic story, my brother?
It's Crystal in the South.
Yes, hey, Harry, thanks for taking the call. Sure. I want to start this by saying that, to my knowledge, the truck driver did make it out safely.
Okay.
But this happened about a week ago on I-95 from Stanford going to Norwalk. It took me approximately 4.5 hours to get from Stanford, Connecticut, if you're familiar with that is, to Norwalk, Connecticut. Apparently, a oil tanker carrying 80 pounds or 80,000 pounds of fuel blew up at the under the northbound exit 16 underpass.
Yep. When that story happened.
Yeah, that hit the news.
Yeah. By the way, they've rebuilt that bridge.
That quick.
That quick. I mean, yeah. They say they got to keep making adjustments to it and everything, but they said, oh, we'll have that bridge rebuilt by Monday. The accident happened Thursday.
Right.
No. I don't want bridge and being built that quick in the same sentence. No.
If there's anything I want you
to take your time with, it's building a bridge.
Hold on a second.
I don't want an erector set. I don't want any Legos. I want you to take your time.
Hold on a second.
It's all right. We need to double and triple check this.
By the way, for those who don't know that story and that news event, there were no fatalities or injuries in that accident that happened involving that tanker and the overpass bridge. They call it the Fairfield Bridge, right across I-95. But you don't trust the engineers? That's why they went to school,
Freddie,
Shannon.
This ain't IKEA, all right? Hey, I need you to take your time.
They didn't get their degree from IKEA. I'm sure they got it from MIT and other places where they could do these kind of things and make it structurally sound. You don't trust their engineering degrees?
Look, if you got to use an Allen wrench, I don't want to go over that bridge.
Well, you said, Freddie, you said they have to continue to make adjustments. No, make sure it's all good.
Right.
You don't need to continue to make adjustments.
No, you got to do that with bridges anyway now, more than ever before, because you got some bridges that have been around since the covered wagon
area. Nah, Freddie, I don't want the rough draft, all right? Give me the final thing. Give me the final cut. I don't want the director's cut. I want the final cut.
Oh, measure twice, cut once. Yeah, I'm a professional engineer, I still endorse that message.
Wow.
Because I'm just saying.
Even Andre's turned on me.
I mean, I'm not turning. You know, I'm not saying I don't trust their stuff. I'm just saying maybe I won't be the first person to use the bridge. That's all I'm saying.
Andre and Shannon won. Freddie, nothing. Freddie concedes this loss as far as that goes. Keep weighing in at 888. Say ESPN 888-729-3776. What is your worst stuck in traffic story? And like we mentioned, keep it clean. This is a family show. Join the conversation on the Groove Line. Worst stuck in traffic story at 888-729-3776. Andre Snellings in for Harry Douglas. Join me, Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Harry. So Luka's got to deal with another sort of traffic involving his knee. Does that mean the Mavericks are done playing the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference semifinals? And FOS Friend of the Show has stopped by and give his thoughts on that if you keep it here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's the Wednesday Groove-a-thon known as Freddie and Harry. I'm Freddie Coleman. Andre Snelling's in for Harry Douglas. Thanks for joining us on Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And also your smart speaker. They'll play ESPN Radio. So Luka Doncic, the Dallas Mavericks, they lose, and they lose big to Oklahoma City Thunder in game one of the Western Conference semifinals. And Luka Doncic seemed to re-injure or re-aggravate the knee injury that had plagued him in the latter part of the regular season and the first round of playoffs, even though they beat the Los Angeles Clippers. Luka not making excuses, not trying to hear it.
When you look at your shooting night, you know, what went into that? Who cares? We lost, man. We just got to move on to the next one. I got to be better. We got to be better. And just, we're known for game one struggling, but we got to focus. They're a great team, great defensive team, great offensive team. So it's not going to be easy at all. We got to play very good basketball and focus basketball for 48 minutes.
The words of Luka Doncic saying, it's not about my knee. It's about what we're going to do to be better in game two. Let's bring an FOS friend of the show. He is Tim McMahon, does a great job as an ESPN NBA reporter. Hit him on social media, meaning Twitter, at ESPN underscore McMahon. Tim, you were there. You heard that from Luka Doncic, what he had to say about not making excuses, not wanting to talk about it. I looked at his face and looked to be even more concerning based on what happened. What did you see?
I mean, listen, his knee's bothering him. He's told us it's going to be bothering him throughout the rest of the playoffs. It's stiff. He's not getting the same kind of separation on his step back. He's not getting, not that he's ever like a super dynamic, explosive player, but he's not as explosive as usual. And then, by the way, he has to deal with Lu Dort, who is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, is as physical as any perimeter defender in the league. Like, there's a lot of things that he is battling against right now. And the playoffs have been a struggle for him. He cannot make a three-pointer right now. 5-35 in the last four games. Unless that changes, this is going to be a very difficult series for the Mavericks, to say the least. And honestly, even if Luka's playing at an MVP level, they're going to have their hands full. The Thunder are. They're the number one seed for a reason. They are a really, really good, deep team. Without Luka playing at or near an MVP level, I just don't see how the Mavericks could win the series.
Wow, that was a strong statement. So what up, Tim? This is Dre. I guess building on that, I was going to ask you, this is your feeling on the Mavs and how they're looking going into game two. What is the team's mentality after losing game one the way that they did and, with the elephant in the room that their leader is not 100% either?
Yeah, and listen, I don't think it's a strong statement to say that the Mavericks need Luka to play at an MVP level to beat the number one seed. The way the Mavericks got to be the fifth seed is with Luka playing at an MVP level. I mean, that's a major reason they were one of the best teams in the league for the, post-trade deadline. As far as their mentality, look, it's one game in a series. They have not won a game one under Jason Kidd. They're now 0-5 in game one.
Wow.
They've won three of the previous four series under Kidd. So, look, they're not panicking. And obviously, Luka is challenged physically at this point. Can he figure out a way to still be the best player on the floor? It's possible. He was able to pull that off in game five against the Clippers, but it's really only happened one time during these playoffs so far.
Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter, gracious with his time on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio with Andre Snellington for Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Coming into the series, Tim, these are the three biggest storylines you said. Luka Doncic versus Lu Dort, Oklahoma City. Will Josh Giddey make the Mavs pay? And how much will the Dallas Mavericks miss Maxi Kleber out with a shoulder injury? I think a new storyline other than Luka Doncic's injury is how much more will Kyrie Irving have to do? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and look, the way this rolled in the first series was Kyrie be quiet in the first half and take the game over in the second half. I mean, he averaged 20 points after halftime in that series, shooting 60% from the floor. And honestly, I felt like last night he was starting to get into that takeover mode, and then you got it down to one. And Mark Dagenaut called a timeout. What did he do with the timeout? He pulled Josh Giddey, which gets back to the, will Josh Giddey make the Mavs pay? The answer last night was no, but he he went and watched the rest of the game from the bench, basically. And then the Thunder, this team, the youngest team ever in a playoff series, they are poised. Bring in Isaiah Joe. He hits a three. Next thing you know, it's a run. They get it back to double figures, and that was that. In Kyrie, obviously, the Mavericks have another guy who is completely capable and reminded us several times in the last series that he can take over playoff games, especially with Luka compromised. There is a little bit more on Kyrie's plate because of that.
So we've mentioned a few times now the Thunder. They were the number one seed for a reason, but they aren't a household name among NBA fans because they kind of burst onto the scene. So What are you seeing in this Thunder team? What makes them so good for those that aren't maybe up on what they've been putting on film?
Yeah, obviously SGA is an MVP finalist. You start with that. And they are a top five offense, top five defense. Believe top three and top three, actually. And they're deep. You know, it's funny. Pat Riley's old line, trust eight, play seven in the playoffs. Mark Daigneault plays 10 or 11.
Yeah.
But it starts with their big three. SGA is an MVP candidate. Chet Holmgren, rookie of the year runner-up, might be an all-defensive player. And then Jalen Williams, you know, he's already a top 22-way player in the league. I mean, and those three guys really complement each other. Lou Dort has become a phenomenal role player, you know, a guy who couldn't shoot to save his life, and now 40-plus percent three-point shooter. And then they just bring – I mean, they're so deep. Last night, Aaron Wiggins, what is he, their ninth man, tenth man? You know, he was the best – he was, aside from SGA, he was the best player on the floor in the first half. You know, Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace. I mean, they come at you in waves and waves and waves, and they're young, but they're young and they're inexperienced, but they aren't rattled. They are tremendously poised, and you know they've got top end talent that can compete with anybody in the league.
How much does this team, and not in terms of players or personality, but how much does this atmosphere that they've created in Oklahoma City with these young guys, and they do interviews together, they're around each other all the time, how much does it remind you, Tim, of the beginning when Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, and James Harden were together in Oklahoma City?
So, I mean, look, the playoff atmosphere, like, this place leads the league in free t-shirt percentage worn. Like, nobody in the crowd is too cool to put on the freebie t-shirts. And, you know, it's color coordinated. The place is jam-packed, you know, well before the opening tip. It is loud from layup lines until the final buzzer. I mean, it's a phenomenal atmosphere. And obviously, like, you know, I mentioned, youngest team ever to win a playoff series, breaking the record of that previous edition of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And look, I don't think there's three future MVPs on this roster, right? I'm not sure we'll ever see that again. That's pretty unprecedented in terms of the talent. But while I think their three guys that they're really building around now complement and enhance each other in a way that Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden didn't. I think those three guys kind of ended up having to separate to maximize their individual talent, where these three guys, it feels much more like a collective core that, you know, has sustainability. And of course the scariest part is Sam Presti is sitting on a mountain of draft capital that like we have never seen before. So not only are they the number one seed now, and, you know, they just had a playoff sweep where they got literally one bucket in the entire series from a guy older than 25.
Wow.
Think about that. Wow. So not only are they really, really good now, there are seemingly unlimited ways that they can continue to build and get better for years to come.
Which means that is a rotten thing for the Western Conference to deal with, because they're not going away any time soon. Tim, great stuff, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the series as long as it lasts, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, fellas.
Great stuff with Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. Like we mentioned, hit him on Twitter at ESPN_McMahon. Real quick, that's the scary thing, what he said in that final point.
Yeah.
Sam Presti is like a pirate. I'm AT. Yes. How much for your gold coins? Mm-hmm. Well, he's got more gold coins right now for the future and the present than anybody, any general manager in the NBA.
Yeah, he's been stockpiling first-round picks in a way that before they hit the national stage with all of the success, people were just kind of, you know, it was almost like a punchline. Like, yeah, Sam Presti has 19 first-round picks in the next five drafts. Mm-hmm. But he still has like 19 first-round picks in the next five drafts. And, oh, by the way, he has a number one seed in the Western Conference as the starting point. So, yeah, that's a scary thought for everybody else.
And believe me, they're only going to get better, and they're still relatively young when it comes to having a number one seed in a loaded Western Conference when it comes to Oklahoma City Thunder. Hey, Luka, you better find a voodoo doctor or voodoo priestess to work on that knee, because if you don't, they're going to work you over by the time this series is over, maybe sooner than later. Andre Snellings in for Harry Douglas. Joining me, Freddie Coleman. We appreciate you joining us on Freddie and Harry. And just like the great song by The Clash, Don, we're going to let you know when it comes to NBA free agencies. Should they stay or should they go? See what we did there? That's next on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
It's the Wednesday Groove-a-thon known as Freddie and Harry. You got my man Andre Snelling in for Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in and always tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Oh, we're not finished with you. When it comes to your worst stuck in traffic story, keep weighing in on the Freddie and Harry Groove-a-thon line at 888-SAY-ESPN. That is 888-729-3776. What is your worst stuck in traffic story? The main thing is, I don't know if Jack in Baltimore is still stuck in traffic. He's called us twice. So, Jack, if you're still stuck in traffic, the phone line is waiting for you at 888-729-3776.
Downcourt Durant all by himself, and he throws it home. How about that?
This is a Freddie and Harry NBA Fast Break.
So we bring in Shannon Penn, our producer. We're going to have a little tribute to The Clash. Should I stay or should I go when it comes to NBA players, whether they're under contract or free agents? Should they stay or should they go? We get to play the future right now with Shannon Penn on Freddie and Harry with me and Andre Snellings on ESPN Radio.
See, everybody can't be the Oklahoma City Thunder and have this young core and building them together.
Well done.
So you got decisions that need to be made. So I'll give you a player. Tell me if he stay. Should he stay or should he go?
All right.
Dre, I'm going to start with you.
All right.
LeBron James, should he stay with the Lakers or should he go?
He should stay because he's the king of L.A. right now when it comes to basketball. The team has been built around him. He can make every decision. There's rumors they're going to pick his son in the second round. Anything he wants is going to happen. So I think he should stay there because if he goes somewhere else, it's not like he's a plug-and-play type guy. That everything has to be built around him.
Yeah, he definitely should stay in Los Angeles because wherever he goes, it's not going to be about him. And even though he's tried not to make it about him, saying, well, we need Anthony Davis to be the best player on the basketball court. LeBron, you know you don't believe that because you know that's not happening. Come on, dude. You've been trying to make Anthony Davis feel better. I applaud that, but we know that's not the truth. L.A. is the perfect place for him because that's where he wanted to be, to continue to build his brand in Los Angeles, continue to build his name with that organization. He should definitely not think about going anywhere because it's not going to get any better for him anywhere else.
All right, Freddie, next up, Jimmy Butler in Miami. Should Jimmy stay in Miami or should he go?
He should want to go to Philadelphia because Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey need him, period. Jimmy Butler pulled the Sealy from the color purple when they chose Tobias Harris over him, until you do right by me. And Philadelphia wound up paying Tobias Harris all that money, and what did they get for it? Nothing in return. Nice guy, Tobias Harris. Didn't work out. He should want to leave, and the place he should want to go to is where he didn't want to leave from in the first place, and that place is Philadelphia.
I can see that, though. You can also have the kind of silly feeling of like, y'all did me like this before. Do I really want to come back to the same front office with the same team? I like Jimmy Butler in Miami, but I do feel the fact that Pat Riley kind of came out week and had a lot to say about Jimmy Butler and how he should behave moving forward. I think maybe the discipline is a good thing, but at the same time, Jimmy Butler, 35, 36 years old, he might want to just go somewhere they'll let him be him and try to win a chip.
So, Dre, should he stay or should he go?
I'll say he should go.
All right, next up, Dre, Paul George with the Clippers. Should he stay or should he go?
He should go. He should go because it's not working in L.A. It's not going to work in L.A. We've seen this story play out five or six times now. He has the opportunity to go somewhere else and be an important contributor on a team that could win a championship. And that's really the last thing that he hasn't really accomplished in his career. So he should go.
He should stay. Stay because that's his home. That's where he wanted to be in the first place. And anywhere else that he's going to go, as terrific as he is, it's not going to be the same because he has a chance to maybe, just maybe, beyond the curses of the Clippers, beyond the Clippers clipping, that maybe, just maybe, he's at the forefront of that because at a certain point, Kawhi Leonard's going to get injured and he's going to be the guy. So there's no need for him to leave when that situation is there for him. Stay. When you call the playoff P, Paul George, stay with the Clippers.
All right, Freddie, what about Donovan Mitchell? Should he stay or should he go? Got one more year left in Cleveland.
Hell yeah, he should go. You don't want to be there anyway. I mean, whatever's going on in Cleveland, which is a really cool city, I'm sure they probably promised him Brown season tickets. That's not enough for him. Donovan Mitchell wants to go somewhere where he believes that he can be valued and be on a team that can compete for a championship. He doesn't care about being a lead guy. That's immaterial to him. So, yeah, hey, Donovan, we know you don't want to be there. They know you don't want to be there. They know that you know. So, yeah, he should definitely go from Cleveland when it comes to Spider with the Cavaliers.
Yeah, he should go. I mean, if all the rumors about, you know, everything Freddie just said are true, I think it's more not a question of is he going to stay or go, or but where will he go?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's maybe a more interesting conversation. But, yeah, he should go.
All right, Dre, what about Trae Young? That's another name that's been brought up a lot this offseason.
No,
should Trae Young stay in Atlanta or should he go?
Harry's Atlanta Hawks. He should go. It's been rumored for years now that the marriage between the two, Trae Young and the Hawks, has been strained. There's been multiple iterations, multiple coaches. His time there has run its course, and they really look better with DeJounte Murray as the lead guard on the team anyway. So I think he should go.
Yeah, what he said. Let's move on.
All right, there's one more on the list real quick. Freddie, Tyler Hero, should he stay in Miami or should he go?
Oh,
they sent him packing. What's up?
He should go. He should go if you're Tyler Hero, because no matter what happens, it seems that he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Down in Miami, there are plenty of Heat culture guys that fit what they do. Mm. Tyler Hero's never seemed to be that Heat culture kind of guy. City's one thing, team a different story. I think Tyler Hero should go.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we talked about Jimmy Butler. He could fit in and be the Miami Heat culture centerpiece. Tyler Hero doesn't really have that in him, and he doesn't have the type of game that seems to work as a supplementary piece in Miami. So, yeah, he should go.
And plus, Pat Riley called him out, too.
Yeah. Oh, Pat Riley called out everybody. Man, he had time.
He not only had time, he made time.
Yeah.
Period. Even if you had somewhere to go, you said, oh, I got to cancel that. Mm-hmm. I got to hear the rest of this. Andre Snelling's in for Harry Douglas. Joining me, Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Harry. So, who's been more impressive on their playoff run? Anthony Edwards of Minnesota, Jalen Brunson in New York, or this guy that should be getting more consideration? That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.